start this morning and continue our series, which is entitled Back to the Basics, or that's the wrong slide. We are going to continue Back to the Basics, and we've been talking through the importance of our relationship with Jesus Christ, that has got to grow, and now we've kind of moved into the next section of this lesson, that we've got to understand the work of Jesus Christ, what He's done, what He continues to promise to do, and understand what God has done through Jesus Christ, and how does that change my life? How do you fit into God's big plan? This lesson started 2 weeks ago, and we're going to hopefully finish it this morning. It's called The Big Picture. What is the whole story of the Bible about, and how do I fit into that? So before we start this morning, looks like everybody's kind of settling down with handouts. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump right in. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to meet. I pray that we would not take it for granted. You have established the church for us to strengthen one another, to be centered on Your Word. And Lord, I pray that even as we look at principles from Your Word tonight and from Scripture this morning, that You just help us to understand it, that we would apply it, that it would not be something that we would view as irrelevant for our lives, because Your Word is always relevant. Your Word is reality. Help us to submit to it. Help us to love it. And Lord, again, I just pray that our hearts would be drawn closer to You and to Your Son this morning in Christ's name. Amen. So you know that awkward moment where you have a group of friends and they're like having a conversation and you walk into the middle of it and you have no clue what's going on. So you just like stand there in like silence. You're like, duh, right? Like it gets really awkward. Or have you ever had one of those moments when you come in the middle of a conversation, it always breeds confusion or misunderstandings. But have you ever started telling a story, and like when you start to tell the story, you know exactly where you're going, but like halfway through, you're just kind of like, I have no clue why I'm telling the story or how I'm going to give the punchline. I completely lost my train of thought. Has that ever happened to anybody? That's happened to me, like especially when you're in front of people a lot, that happens pretty often. You're like, where was I going with this, right? And so if you start a story, oftentimes if you start right in the middle, you don't know the background, it's confusing. But also if you come in the middle, you know the beginning, the end, but like you don't know the beginning and the middle, excuse me, you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know where you're going, often that breeds confusion as well. And there are a lot of people in this world that have never read the Bible who are kind of in the middle of the story, they don't know the background, they don't know the end, and they're stuck in the middle and it's breeding a lot of confusion and it's breeding a lot of misunderstandings. They don't understand what God is doing, what His plan is, what He's trying to accomplish, and a lot of times that leads to bitterness. Hey, I'm confused. What is God doing? That leads to a lack of forgiveness and bitterness in our lives. And Satan wants it that way. Satan does not want us to understand the big picture of what God is trying to accomplish. He wants us to be very focused on right now. What's going on right here, right now? And in these people's minds who've never heard the story of the Bible, all the pieces do not fit together. And they're kind of like, why am I here? Why do I exist? What's my life all about? What am I supposed to do? What does my future hold? And it could get very confusing if you don't know the whole picture. But aren't you guys thankful that as believers, God has given us His Word where He tells us the whole story? Hey, this is how it started. Here's the background. Here's what's going on right now, what I've accomplished. And here are promises for the future. And so we started this theme 2 weeks ago, but we're going to continue with it. To grow spiritually, you've got to understand that God's plan for the world changes your life. It does have implications for you. We've got to apply it. We've got to understand it. What's He trying to do? How do I fit into this? And it's been 2 weeks, but let's kind of briefly review some of the foundational things we talked about, and then we'll get into some new material in this lesson this morning. But look at Lamentations 3. We've got to acknowledge a couple things about God. Who is He that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? No one can say anything against what God has said, and it happens. Verse 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. And what we really learn here is that God rules over everything. He's in charge of the good. He's in charge of the bad. God is completely sovereign and He is King. But also we've got to acknowledge that God is good. Psalm 119, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. So in this whole big picture, we've got to come with the background knowledge that God's in charge and He is good. And God has a plan for the world that can kind of fit into these four categories. We started with creation. We looked at the fall, and today we're going to get into the redemption and to new creation. The big story of Scripture fits into those four categories, and each one of those overarching themes, it should change our lives. How does it apply to us? How does this really change how I live my life right now? So we looked at a couple of those. We'll continue with that, but let's review, first of all, with creation. Very briefly, God is the creator. Bible tells us he made everything. Man was made in his image. We have a responsibility. He says, have dominion over the world. We're supposed to rule and submit to with God by submitting to God. But also, everything was good when God created it. He looked at all of his creation. He said, you know what? That is good. And everything was good. And we were created for perfect fellowship with God. In the Garden of Eden, we could freely walk with God, freely talk with God. Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with him. And this is how God's intentions for creation was. And people often ask, you know what? Do I even matter? I mean, why do I exist? And without knowing that the answer from Genesis, people are very confused. Why am I here? And God says in Genesis, yes, you matter. I created you to be like me, to rule under me, and to bear my image. You're supposed to reflect who I am. We matter because we are images of God. But also as we move forward in the New Testament, God also says, yes, you matter so much that even when you rebelled against me, I showed my love towards you while you were sinners and I died for you. So do we matter? Yes. And you can share that news with other people as you witness. The Bible tells us that we matter and we matter to God. We are very, very important. So it changes our lives. We have to come to grips with the fact and acknowledge that God is good, he's in charge, and I am important to him. But then, by way of review, moving on, the fall happened. And men fell into sin. Man and earth now live under the curse. The Bible tells us in Romans that creation groans for Jesus to return and to create and to remake everything, to make things new. And that our relationship with God was completely severed. It was broken. And the fall was a turning point in the story of this great drama that's unfolding in the Bible. There's now fear where there was no fear. There's now shame. There's now guilt. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God because they'd fallen into sin. And we all try to hide from God when we're in sin. We all try to run from him. And in that moment, everything changed. The world changed. Perfect fellowship was now shattered. And God had to banish us from his presence. And this tugs at my heartstrings, and hopefully it does for you as well. Even as I'm thinking about this in context of witnessing, guys, this is where a lot of people, this is the only part of the story that they know. They feel broken. They feel hopeless. They feel completely separated from God. They're like, hey, how do I get to God? How can I have access to him? How can I have a relationship with him? I don't know. And this is where they're kind of stuck. And this is where they've kind of come into the conversation and they don't know the background and they don't know what God is trying to do. They don't know what he's trying to accomplish and what he promises for the future. Guys, it is our job to tell them the story. And Jesus Christ came into the story in the middle of the fall and we were banished from God's presence. And what does that even mean? Napoleon Bonaparte, a lot of you know him, he was famous for having an empire that basically took over most of Europe. And at one point in 1813, he had to retreat to Paris because his military support was not there, and he was banished to the island of Elba. And after a while, he was able to escape. He came back. He tried to regain all of his army, and he tried to take over Europe again. But then he was once again exiled. He was banished, and he was sent to the island of St. Helena. He lived there for 6 years, and then he eventually died. He died in exile. He was banished from his country. He was banished from his home. He was banished from everywhere. Why? Because he was trying to take over. He was trying to rule all of Europe. He was trying to build an empire, and he loved war. He was massacring people. He said, you know what? You've got to get out of here. And he was banished. And God is so holy that he had to banish us from his presence because we're sinful. God cannot tolerate sin. We could not be with him. And again, this is where people are stuck in the story because they feel separated from God. And for many, this is where the story ends. There's no hope. There's no future. So, okay, why does the fall matter for us? How does that actually change my life? We looked at this last time. We're almost done with the review. Why is the world so imperfect? It answers that question. Because sin came into the world and it messed up what God had created. We are now a broken, marred image of who God is. And so why is there suffering? People ask that over and over and over again. Why is there suffering? And guys, it's because of us. It's our fault. And God is in the process in this big story of fixing it and restoring it. And sometimes we have to have patience. God views time very differently than we do. So how's it changed my life? Because we've got to understand that, hey, when I suffer, it's ultimately because of sin. And we are all guilty of sin. So guys, do you doubt God's goodness because of physical pain? Hey, I'm sick. I'm watching other people struggle with sickness. My family members, do you struggle to see God's goodness because you're having relationship problems? That, hey, I'm constantly fighting. How can God love me if he put these people into my life? And people often struggle to see the goodness of God in times of trials and doubt, and we doubt God's goodness. And guys, the ultimate answer for why is there suffering is because of our sin. And the story isn't over yet. So this is where we're getting into the new material. Hopefully that kind of helped you out a little bit, get your bearings. The curtain is now rising on Acts number 3, which is redemption. And what does redemption even mean? Because man is under the curse, and in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." So this is after the fall, and guys, God was grieved by man's sin, but God was not done with man. He was not going to just cast us aside and banish us forever. He does offer a way for us to now come back into a relationship with him. And again, this is very basic stuff for most of us who've been going to church our whole lives. But how does that, so often we take this for granted, how does it change our lives? And he has a plan to restore everything to being good again. And it hasn't come to full fulfillment yet, but he promises that it will. And there's a story about a young boy that will help us understand this concept of redemption. His name was Tom, and he built a model boat. And so when he built this boat, he decided on a Saturday to take it out and put it in the river and let it float down the river. So he tied a string to it so he could pull it back in. But he built this boat, he put it out in the river, and all of a sudden he was having a great time, but then a gust of wind and the water started to push it faster than he could keep up with. It ended up pulling the boat off of the string. He chased it as far as he could, but he could never find it. So he spent several days looking for this boat, but on his way home from school the next week, he spotted the boat in a toy store window. And he went up to the store window, and he went to the owner, and he said, "You know what? That's my boat. I made it. See, I put my initials on it." He could prove that it was his. "I made that." And the store owner said, "Well, I'm sorry, but someone else brought it to me and sold it to me this morning. So if you want it, you're going to have to buy it." So the boy went home, he gathered up all the money that he could, and he was charging $1. For that boy was a big amount of money. He got $1 together, he came back to the store, and he bought it. So on his way out of the store, he said this, he hugged his boat, "Now you are twice mine. First I made you, and then I bought you." And that last phrase in that illustration illustrates what God has done for us. God has made us. And now he's buying us back. To redeem means to buy back. He has to redeem us from the slave market of sin. And God made man. At this point of the story, we see God paying an absolutely tremendous cost to buy us back from our sin. And guys, left to ourselves, sin owns us. Sin controls us. The Bible tells us that we are absolute slaves to sin. And before we're saved, we have no option to fight against that temptation because that's all we know. We are slaves to sin. And sometimes, even as Christians, we feel like it controls us. So how does God buy us back from the slave market of sin? How does he fix what's going on in our lives? First of all, he sent Jesus Christ to be our representative. Remember how he said Adam was our representative in the fall? God sent Jesus to represent us. And Romans 5:18 says it this way, "Therefore, as by the offense of one," talking about Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one," Jesus, "the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So how many of you in here are like big sports fans? Quite a few. How many of you in here think that athletes make way too much money? Raise your hands. Yeah, like I see a decent amount more hands. Now, they make a ton of money mainly because they're way better at all the sports than like everyone else on the planet. I mean, they're absolutely tons better. But by curiosity, I looked up like the biggest contracts in sports history. There's a guy who plays baseball. His name is Giancarlo Stanton. Plays for the Miami Marlins. A couple years ago, he signed a 13-year contract that was worth, let me look it up, it says $325 million. So what that averages out to is he's making $154,000 per game. He is making a ton of money. They play 162 games a year. He is making bank. In 2008, Alex Rodriguez signed a 10-year deal worth $275 million. So what his averages out to is $169,753.09 per game. He's making tons and tons of money, right? How many of you now think athletes make way too much? Yeah, still, like, tons. Now, the only one that doesn't play baseball in the top 10 is a boxer. A lot of you have heard of him. His name is Floyd Mayweather. He signed a contract that's worth a 2-year deal with a television company, and his contract averages out to every time he fights, he makes $30+ million. He is making absolutely a ton of money. Now, why do they make so much? Again, they're better at what they do than everyone else, but also these guys have hired someone whose sole job it is to represent them and make as much money as possible. So Scott Boras, he was Alex Rodriguez's agent. He didn't go to the Yankees and say, hey, you know what? You need to give Alex Rodriguez a bunch of money because I'm really good at baseball. He says, you need to give him a bunch of money because he is really good at baseball. He goes to companies and to businesses and to teams, and they talk up their player. They represent them. They negotiate for them. And he says, you need to give them all this money because they are awesome. But we have a representative, Jesus Christ, who represents us not based upon how good we are, but he represents us based upon how good he is. Because guys, Alex Rodriguez is not going to be good at baseball for the next 15 years. I mean, he's already not playing. And his talents are going to fade. He's going to mess up. But guys, Jesus is never going to fail. He's never going to mess up. He is our representative, and he perfectly represents us. Through Christ, we are given an inheritance that we do not deserve. Christ has earned it for us. Jesus lived a perfect life. He represented us in living a sinless life. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest, a representative, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like. He knows the temptations, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. He was our representative in life. He lived a perfect life. He lived the life that we all failed to live. We all fall short of the glory of God. And again, just because this is familiar stuff, don't let your mind wander. We are talking about God buying us back from the slave market of sin. And the Bible tells us that his righteousness can be placed on our account because of faith. And God is fixing what we have messed up through Jesus Christ. He's not only our representative in life, but he was our representative in death and the resurrection. He died on the cross in our place. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He took the death sentence that all of us should be condemned to. Guys, do you let that sink in? We all deserve eternal banishment from God with no way back. But Jesus Christ stepped in and he took that. He died for our sins. He died the death that all of us deserve to die. And Adam represented us in the fall, but Jesus would represent us in life, in death, and resurrection. That's what the picture of baptism is. We're buried in the likeness of his death and raised to walk in newness of life. He's given us his righteousness, and he offers us the gift of forgiveness. We are redeemed through Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So guys, for you to spiritually grow, you've got to understand the work of Christ and how it changes your life. Now, we didn't sing any songs this morning. If I could have Joe make his way to the piano, because sometimes what we preachers do is we like to read the words to a song, but I've intentionally plugged in a song here as part of a way to reinforce what we're talking about. He's died in our place. He's given us life. Now, as we read through this, really think through, as we sing through the power of the cross, we're going to sing all four verses. Songbook was over there. Is it gone? Anybody take the songbook? Here's one. Sorry about that. All right, so as we sing through this, think about the redemption that Jesus Christ has given us. So this song is very meaningful. Let's sing it that way. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary. So guys, I can see kind of a glazed look in some of your eyes. I know that was a little distracting. We lost the book. Let's pull it back in, really focus on these words. Christ has redeemed us and bought us back from the slave market of sin. Let's sing all four verses, the power of the cross.